Good morning, as everyone has already said. Can you hear me? I'm good? Nope? Okay. All right. You'll need to hear me this morning. You will. So it was weird doing this because this is sermon from last week. And the Holy Spirit distracted me to a certain extent, and we shared some other things, which I think were important. And so then I had a whole week to regurgitate what I was working on last time, like a cow, I guess, chewing its cud, and hopefully it'll come out to the point where it makes sense to you. Two things I need to share with you first, though. One, I had expressed a need last week that we needed people to do and continue to do church downstairs. And immediately after the service, we needed two teachers and two helpers. Four people came up and said they would do it. Praise God. Okay, yes. Praise God, because he's in control of this operation, whether you guys understand that or not. And so I'm going to bring up another need, and that is we need people to do, if we're going to do the kids' jam, we're going to need a game person and a helper. And Maddie and Will were doing it, but by golly, they're bringing another human being into the world any time, and I'm not exactly sure why they think that's going to cause a change in their life. But no, so we're hoping that they would be home and taking care of that baby. So we're going to need somebody else to take over game. So if you would like to do that, because otherwise we're not going to have Kids Jam anymore either. And that would be a shame for me because I love these guys. And so the next thing is the lesson the kind of the little object lesson that I do for the kids. Well, I said it last week, and now I forgot about doing another one this week. So you guys will get one next time. I already have the object lesson for next week. All right. So here we go. Let's just say this. Let's just say that in your family is this great patriarch, and he's very wealthy, and he is very kind of famous person, and he's turning, you know, up in his years, and he's going to have a big birthday party, and he's inviting everybody in the family to come. Okay. And just like I said, really wealthy guy, and he's putting together this big old shindig, and you're invited. And then let's just say, you know what, for whatever reason, there's a rift between you and this guy. And he's, yeah, I hate the guy. And there's just no way, I just can't get along with him. And I really want nothing to do with him. And therefore, you just take the invitation and throw it in the garbage. Well, after the whole thing is over, you get a phone call from one of your other relatives and say, hey, we didn't see you at the birthday party. I know, I can't stand that guy. Hey, you wouldn't believe it. This was a party for the ages. Everybody there had so much fun. And it just went on and on and on. In fact, it all went on for 2 days. And the food, you just wouldn't believe. Entertainment. But here's the deal. At the end of the party, for everybody that came, he wrote them into the will. And they're all going to be multimillionaires. Would you feel pretty bad you missed out on that? Yeah. Well, let's just say this was the circumstance. And you love the guy, and you got the birthday invitation, but man, I mean, your life is just really complicated, and you have way too much things going on, and so you understand that it's coming up, and it's on the weekend, and oh, man, I just got too many things going on, and then, oh, I'm late, I'm taking off late, and oh, what happens? I got too many things, I forgot I was supposed to go, I didn't get a present. What am I going to do? And so then you get in the car and you're driving. It's quite a ways to get to his house. And you start daydreaming about all the different things that's going on in your life. And you take about five different wrong turns. And, oh, you show up and the party's been going on and going on. And you made it for the will, but you missed out on all the other stuff. Don't do that. So when we see this here, the Tower of Babel, seeking the abundant life the wrong way. That's basically the first scenario that I gave you. This is people that just, you know, we're all looking for this thing, and they just totally blew it. But then part of this is we're going to be looking at how do we fall into the same traps. Don't be the second guy either. Don't be that guy. Okay, I'm going to end up in heaven, but I've missed the abundant life here because I was not focused on that. I didn't have intentionality about it. I didn't say, this is the most important thing that God has given me, and I'm going to take full advantage of it. Nope, I'm too busy with life, and I got distracted, and I got other things going on, and so I'm going to make it to heaven, but I haven't really experienced the abundant life that God intended for me to have here. And so that's really the point of this. And you're going to think, how in the world is this going to relate to the Tower of Babel? And well, we'll just see. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I'm hoping it does. So there are two kinds of people. We told you this last time. There's the people of God and people that are not people of God. And so we saw this in this, so we're going to be reading this story. This is go back a little bit. So before this, we in chapter 9, right? Chapter 9, we saw Ham and Shem and Japheth, the three sons of Noah that were talked about. I mean, he had more sons, but so that were talked about as they came off of the ark. And you think, okay, man, ark, they lived through some pretty distinctive times, didn't they? They saw the power of God to build this big old ship and bring all these animals. You think they went out and gathered them up? I said, no, heck no. God brought them in. And then they, you know, hey, we're going to shut the door and there's all these people out there and God sends all this water. Would that have an effect on you? Yes, it would. I mean, he's talked to the people in California, see if that fire thing had an effect on them. And it only just took care of one little area. And so they lived through this. Now, they're thinking it's probably somewhere between 120 and 350 years later that this Tower of Babel thing is going to happen. But so what we say, we've seen this line of people come out. So we had the three sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth. And from what it tells us, and this has been a pretty typical scenario, that there's a sacred line of people that starts with Adam and goes all the way to Jesus. And it looks like this, and this is somehow related here. So you start out with Adam, and then of the three sons talked about there, which were Cain and Abel and Seth, then God chose Seth, and the line, the sacred line towards the Redeemer comes through Seth, comes to Noah. Noah was a descendant of Seth. And then he has Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then through Shem, his one son, comes Abraham, and through Abraham comes David, and from the line of David comes Jesus. And then it's in that line, which is running through to descendants, now starts with Jesus and goes out to anybody that the Holy Spirit calls into the family of God. You don't have to be a descendant of Abraham physically. You just have to be of his seed, which is Jesus. So that's a cool thing. But back then there was this line. And so believe it or not, I mean, it's not completely that way, but the people of God sort of followed the same line. They did. Not everybody who was in the line of the sacred line became children of God. We see that even with the nation of Israel. Not all Israel is Israel. Not everybody in the nation of Israel is going to heaven. But through that line, through Abraham, comes the people of God. And so here we see the people of God, and we see that it's coming through the line of Shem. And then Japheth, it gets kind of morphed in later. But who was not in the line was Ham. And so Ham is part of this story. And so Ham has descendants, and we see from that what's going on. So we see from Ham came Nimrod. And if you go back to chapter 10, so chapter 10 I kind of skipped, and it's a genealogy and the people of Noah, the three brothers, and who was what. And so we see Ham and Shem and Japheth, and so Ham produces Nimrod. And it says, Nimrod was the first of the mighty men. Okay, so we don't know if that means he was really big and strong, but he was an empire builder. It also said he was, and this is interesting for me as I was studying this, he was also one of the mighty men, a hunter before God. And so I looked it up, and the before can mean something good, because people think, oh, Nimrod, the hunter before God, he must have been one of God's people. Well, if you look up the original Hebrew word that's used, it can mean someone in, what do I want to think here? It's someone who is not lined up with God. Someone who's in rebellion towards God. So he was a mighty guy, but he wasn't necessarily lined up with the people of God. And so Nimrod builds these cities and has these people. So see if any of these ring a bell or kind of give you an idea of where this person is and where this thing is going. So Ham, the son, and remember the son who had walked in on his naked father, however that worked out, because our customs are a little different, but it was really, really bad, whatever he did. And his brothers walked backwards, you know, with the coat and covered up their dad. And then he got a curse, and he was cursed by Noah, and not only him, but his son, Canaan. Okay, so Canaan and all the way through produces Nimrod, and Nimrod is this empire builder who goes around, and he's out there, and he builds these cities, Babel or Babel, Sodom, Gomorrah, and Nineveh. What do we know about those cities? They were evil. They were evil. Okay, what about, he's also descends these people, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the Canaanites. What do we know about those people? Yeah, that when God decides to take over the promised land, he gets rid of them all because they're evil. Okay, so we see that from this line that this is not the people of God. This is not God's people. Okay, so there's the two different kinds of people, right? There's the people of God and people that are not the people of God. And it's pretty clear from Scripture that this is not the people of God. Okay. So they're going to be that first scenario that I gave you, right? They're not coming to the party because they hate God. They're not going to do what God says because God has said this: I want you guys to go out and be fruitful and prosper and spread out around the whole earth. I made this whole earth. You guys have been kind of hanging out in this one little spot in the Middle East here. No, 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 no. You're going to go. Well, they had completely different ideas on their own because they were not the people of God and they were not interested in God. And we know from Scripture that every human being that's broken is born in a war with God. And if you're in a war with God, you're going to lose. God's not in a war with you, but if you're in a war with God, you're going to lose. And so these guys were in a war with God, and they didn't want to do what God said. Because they were not the people of God. And so when God said, go out and spread out and be fruitful and multiply, nope, they had a completely different plan. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about was that was the who. Who is the who that we're talking about in this particular story of the Tower of Babel? And then the why. This is where it gets a little bit more confusing. So hang on. Try to fall through because it's hard to understand. Maybe you've never asked yourself this. Why do people do what they do? We're going to look at this because it's going to hopefully tell us in the end how we can avoid doing some of the things that they do. Why does anybody do what they do? Everybody has a will, right? Everybody has a will. Some people think you have a free will. If you have a free will, if you think you have a free will, don't raise your hand because I'm going to make you feel silly. You have a will and you make decisions. Nobody's will is free. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. That's it. That's the people of God, right? And the people that aren't God. And so when you have a will, you think, oh, I can make any decision I want, and everything is, I'm absolutely neutral. No, you are not neutral because the sinfulness inside you, if you are a broken human being, is generating things and agendas in you to do certain things. So we're going to look at these people, and it's 300 and some years maybe at the most, past the flood, but I'm guessing that story is filtering down so that at least they've heard of God and they've heard what he can and will do if you don't follow what you're supposed to be doing, because God is demonstrating his wrath so that we can understand that God is serious about doing things his way, and that because we can't do it on our own, we absolutely need grace. That's the message here. We see it time and time again in the Old Testament as God is pointing the way to the Messiah, saying, you guys can never follow on your own, and so you need grace. And so they are not going to get grace. They're going to get the wrath of God. They're going to get the punishment of God because they don't belong to God. But why do then all of us born broken, every single one of us was born broken? And so why do we do what we do? We'll take a look at the broken parts first. And I'm not a psychologist, but I think I'm going to read through some things. I got 4 points here and see if it doesn't cover most of what you think is the answer to that question. Why do people do what they do? Number one, you know, if we, and this is again, broken, sinful man, we are indulging the base desires that we have. Why am I going to do a certain thing? Why am I going to go buy that thing? Why am I going to say that? Why am I going to think this thought? Because inside of me that's broken, my mind and my heart were both broken at the fall. And I have now these things inside of me that we call it the flesh. And it has things like envy and jealousy and greed and rage and lust and covetousness. And I indulge those things. They just come out. I'm not looking for them. I'm not trying to make them happen. That is a response that I have from being a broken human. And those things are coming up inside me on a continual basis. And somehow I'm just letting them go. Okay, I'm not saying I'm trying to do this. I'm just letting it happen. And I have the feelings, okay? I have all those feelings of lust and rage and envy and jealousy and all the things, and I'm just letting them go ahead and come out. That's why we do some of the things we do. Because we have these base things inside of us, these desires that are sinful and broken, and when our hearts and minds were broken, that's what was the result. Instead of coming and doing things and thinking things and feeling things that are honorable to God, we have things that are honorable to ourselves. Second, we seek pleasure and avoid pain. Okay, so why am I going to do a certain thing? Because it feels good. Why am I going to say this thing? Why am I going to think this thing? Why am I going to go do this thing? Because it feels good. And when it feels good, it makes me feel good then. And why do I not do this? Because it hurts. Maybe it was the right thing. You know, they're just the saying, right? No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. How many of you think that's true? A lot of times it is true. And so if you're just avoiding pain, you're going to say, I'm not going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the thing that feels good to me at the time. So that's why people do some things. And then how about this one? Number three, just meeting your own physical needs. You know, just I need food, I need water, I need shelter, I need clothing. I need to survive. These are survival skills. And so, yeah, I'm going to get up and go get a job, and I'm going to try to save my money, and I'm going to try to be prudent with the way I spend it, and I'm going to buy this and buy that. Okay, so sometimes it's just we're just meeting these basic human needs, right? So we do certain things for that. But then they have these, you know, I've talked about these things before. And so the first ones are kind of just base emotional response, the first two. And then these two would be something that's maybe, could be subconscious or conscious, but there's an agenda. I know that I am going to do this thing to achieve this thing, okay? And sometimes, though, it's subconscious. And I do things to achieve things, even though I'm not, you know, why do I wear certain clothes, because I kind of want people to like me, and maybe I'm not even thinking about it, but I kind of look good. And but so let me give you these, and I've given you these before. Meaning and purpose in my life. I want to feel like there's something important in who I am and what I do. I need meaning, and I believe God created us to have these needs down inside of us. And love and acceptance. I want to be loved. I want people to think I'm okay. I want people to think I'm worthy of something. I need an identity. I need to know who I am, that I'm valuable some way, that I have, I'm here for a reason. People see me, and there's a purpose for me. And I know who I am, and I can gain some strength from that. And then I want some sort of satisfaction that, okay, I'm doing something that has a purpose to it. And in the end, when I leave, I can see I've accomplished something. And then I need security. I need to feel like I'm safe and that somebody has my back and that I can get some confidence and reach out and do some things. And I need hope. I didn't need hope when I was created, when man was created initially. But after we broke everything, we can feel that. We can feel this is not right. There's got to be something better. This can't be everything. And so I believe God, that every human being has those things inside of him. And so these are the reasons why we do some things that we do. By trying to satisfy those needs and desires, all people, I believe, are seeking the abundant life in one way or another. And I gave you the two scenarios, the people of God and the not people of God. But unfortunately, even the people of God find themselves doing the same kinds of things oftentimes. And so that's what we're going to look at as we look at the Tower of Babel. Because not God's people try to satisfy those same needs and seek the abundant life But they do it man's way instead of God's way. But then there's God's people. And here's the reality of it, folks, as we're looking through this. Hopefully this will all make sense at the end. We that are people of God oftentimes seek these answers. We seek these needs to be fulfilled through God. But oftentimes, we try to do it ourselves as well. And what a shame if you're that second guy. And I'm going to end up in heaven, but I miss the party down here. Because I believe that it is God's will and God's plan for us to experience the abundant life. And why would I say that? Because the Bible says that. It says, I am the door. This is in John chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture, and the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So I believe what this is telling me is I died for you people. I died for you. I am the one who laid down my life for the sheep, and you are the sheep. And with that life, I bought for you the abundant life. So what is the abundant life? Well, we know from Scripture that he's talking about two things here. He's talking about the eternal life, right? That Christ, if I accept him as my Lord and Savior, that he bought for me reconciliation with God and life, which is, you know, spiritual life. Because when he says, you know, you're dead now, it doesn't mean you physically you're dead, but spiritually you were born dead. And I'm going to bring you back to life, which is reconciliation and relationship with God. And because of that, you're going to spend eternity in completely fixed bodies, completely fixed people, in a completely fixed environment, and it is more wonderful than you could ever imagine. No eye can see, no ear would hear, no mind can conceive of the wonderful things God's created for those that love him. So that's true, right? And so I'm telling you right now, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you need to, because the abundant life is not open to you. And eternally, that's going to really stink. And it can stink here too, because I believe part of the abundant life happens right here, right now, that God said, I died for you, and I died for you to save you from eternal torment, but I also died for you so that you could find the abundant life right here, right now, where you're at, regardless of your circumstances. How many of you find that to be a difficult place to go? How many of you are affected by your circumstances to the point where you've lost some of the abundant life? God says you don't need that. God says, I died so that you could have the abundant life now. Okay, so we're going to see, how does this apply? All right. So we see different ways. We have the people of God, and God says, I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've come to you. I've changed. I've given you a new heart. Now, you need to have your mind renewed, but I've given you a way to find the abundant life right here and now. But nope, for the people that are the non-people of God, they're sitting home and missing the party. And so what was their plan? Do you think that those people, the people of Babel, the people that disobeyed God, those descendants of Ham, through Nimrod, went there, completely disobeyed God's plan, do you think they were also looking for some sort of abundant life? Okay, how about out in the world right now? You think people are out there? You think they want those things? Do you think they want all those needs to be met? Absolutely they do. Are they going to find the abundant life? No. Did these guys find the abundant life? No. Okay, so here's their plan. You know, God says, look, I'm going to get you out of the ark. I want to propagate the whole world, so go out and be fruitful and multiply and spread out. So here's what they decided they would do in man thinking. So this is Genesis chapter 11. We're going to go through the first, I think it's verse 9 verses. Now the whole earth had one language. That's kind of interesting. Just think, okay, they came off the ark. They were all descendants. They were all brothers and sisters. They all started with Noah and his wife, and then he had sons. And so it's pretty easy to understand. Okay, they probably all had the same language. Were there any other languages before that? We don't know. They think there was, you know, somewhere between 300 and 200 million people on the earth at the time of the flood, and they spread out a little bit, so it's hard to say. Maybe there were different dialects, but at least here they know at this time it was all one language. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain. This is, again, the people of Ham through Nimrod came through. It even says in Scripture in chapter 10 where they kind of came. They came from the east, and they settled at this place. Why? You're going to find out. And as the people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had a brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Again, so this is, they're coming, they've been told to spread out, but they find this really cool, convenient place in this really fertile valley, and they're saying, no, heck no, we're going to stop here. And so not only that, but we're going to build a city, and we're going to do it the right way. We're not going to use just regular bricks. We're going to bake these boogers, and they're going to be really strong. We can just build whatever we want. And they're going to use this stuff, which is the tar for mortar. And then they said, okay, let's come build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed all over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, and the children of man, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, they have one language, and this is the only the beginning of what they're going to try to do. And nothing they purpose to do will be impossible for them. So come, let us go down. Just let us. Who's the us? This is just some more evidence of the Trinity. This is God saying, us. The three of us are going to go down there, and we're going to confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there all over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them all over the face of the earth. Okay, in the end, whose will was done? Quit fighting it then, right? Did it matter to them? Okay, we're going to try this our way. And God says, oh no, folks, I'm sovereign. You're going to end up doing it my way, and you're going to have to pay the price. Okay, so we look at them. We say, okay, they're indulging these base desires that they have. And so what are they trying to do here? What was it? They were seeking the abundant life the wrong way. They were broken, and they were without God. So what were they looking for? They were looking to satisfy their own longing for control. Right? We don't want to do God's will. Why should we answer to him? We don't even like that guy. Maybe we don't even believe in him. No. I'm controlling my life. I'm controlling my destiny. We're going to decide where we live. We're not going out there. It's dangerous out there. We're going to have to live in caves and stuff for crying out loud. And we'll be all by ourselves. We can't do that. They were looking to find some sort of purpose and meaning and satisfaction, just like everybody does, for their lives. And so they're going to say, no, we're going to do this our way. Not God's will, but my will. I'm going to do it not only my will, I'm going to do my will my way. And I'm going to find that. I'm looking for something. We can make a name for ourselves. We can be famous. Everybody else is going to look at Babel and say, wow, look at that. My goodness, you guys are so cool. And they move up to the top of the list, and you know, all of their posts get viral on YouTube, and everybody's looking at them. Wow, did you see that latest post on Babel? Whoa, those guys are cool. That's what they wanted, because they were looking to find identity, and they were looking to find all that for themselves. God's way was out the door, and their way is what they were doing. They were trying to find an identity. Everybody wants to know, here's who I am. I am significant, and I have value. And you can find that in God, or you can try to find it out in the world on your own. And that's what they were trying to do. And they understood, you know what? If we're going to have faith in God's plan, we're going to go out and go have faith and do it God's way, it's going to be dangerous out there. You know, we're going to be out there by ourselves, because if we disperse like he's saying, man, and we're spreading out all over the whole world, we're going to be few in number in any one place. That's dangerous. And you know, we won't have cities. We won't have stores. We'll be living in caves or making tents or whatever. That's no fun. I don't want that. Besides, it's scary. What if animals eat us? So we're going to build our own security system. We're going to put these things around us. We're going to put our own resources out there so that when we can feel safe by what we can do. And then here's the thing about the tower. I don't know. I didn't realize this till I did the study. This was called a ziggurat. And basically what it was a temple. And you can think back to, you know, maybe the, I say this now, you know, maybe the big cathedrals of the Catholic Church time. We're going to build this big edifice because we want God, but we want him on our terms. And we want to know, those guys built that. God loves them better. We do that. So here they were trying to find a relationship with their God, the God that they're making up, and they're going to do it their way by saying, see, God, you should love us. You should protect us. You should come be part of us because look at what we can do. And they're trying to build their way back to God their own way. See, that was the consequences of doing it man's way. That's the consequences of brokenness that we all have. So, they were trying to achieve the same goals that everybody's trying to achieve. Did they look for it in the right place? No. How did they fail? By doing man's will instead of God's will. By committing the sin of selfishness and pride. By demonstrating that they had no faith in God's plan. God says, go out. No, we're not going out. Why? Because I'm scared. I don't think I'll be safe. I don't think it'll work. I don't want to do that. I want to do what's comfortable for me. They were relying on their own efforts to find that security. And they were trying to please God by their own efforts and their own methods. Read through it. I'm just going to give you a minute. Read through the list. Sound familiar? We need to ask ourselves every day. Intentionality is critical. The second scenario that I gave you at the beginning of the sermon is because there was no intentionality. I got distracted. I didn't realize how important it was to get to the birthday party on time if I really wanted to enjoy all of the things that were being given to me for nothing. We need to ask ourselves this every single day. And we have to recognize that trying to find the abundant life man's way is never, ever going to work. Ever. You're not going to get saved that way. And you're not going to enjoy the blessings that God has in mind for us when you try to do it man's way. So we ask ourselves, am I doing the same thing that the people in Babel did? Well, maybe. So we look at ourselves and we have to go through that list and say, am I doing this God's way? God wants me to have the abundant life. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and part of that death was for me to have the abundant life that he's offering right now. Am I taking advantage of it? And if not, why not? Who's the true provider of all the things that we seek? It's God. You're looking for it. I don't care what you think. You're trying to make a name for yourself. You're trying to find security. You're trying to find hope. You're trying to find meaning and purpose. You're trying to find an identity. You're trying to get out there and battle against these base emotions and things that are creating sin in your life. But if you're trying to do it on your own, good luck with that. So why do we look other places? Why do we look other places to satisfy those needs? Now, some of these things aren't necessarily inherently sinful, right? God, I have a will. I'd like to go do this. Well, did you consult with me first? Well, it doesn't seem like either option is a sin. Yeah, but did you bring it to me to see if I had an opinion on it? Well, golly no. How'd you like to stay in the center of my will, Tim? Then you better be bringing me stuff on a regular basis, because even though I've given you my scripture, which gives you the don't do stuff and the do stuff, there's a lot of stuff that you're just going to have to make decisions on, but I'd like to be part of that if you want to stay in my will. That's what next Sunday's sermon is going to be about. So why do we look in other places? So here we are as children of God, and sometimes we seek the abundant life the wrong way, the same way that the people of Babel were trying to do it. So here we are. We need to ask ourselves these questions and wonder, have I fallen into one of these things? So we're going to, for the next, I don't know how many Sundays, I don't know how many of these I can do at one Sunday, but we're going to go through each one of these and clarify, how did I fall in there? What am I supposed to do? And how do I get out? Because the Bible has that. It has the answers for all those. And some of these things we just, you know, we're just too distracted. We're just too distracted. I didn't mean to sin, God. I didn't have an agenda that says I wanted to walk away from your will. I just did because I wasn't thinking. I wasn't intentional. And these opportunities came up, and it sounded really good, so I just took advantage of it. Well, did you bring it to me? Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, so are we seeking our own will instead of God's will? Are we trying to create a city for ourselves, so we can make a name for ourselves outside God's plan? That was my life for about 40 years. I wasn't doing sinful stuff. I just wasn't doing God's plan. And then, discipline. I'll change things. I'll take everything you got away. Are you getting the message? And finally I did. And now here I am. It's very easy for us to commit the sin of selfishness and pride without even recognizing what we're doing. Because basically anytime we step outside God's will, it's because of pride. We're either too proud because we want to do it ourselves, or we're so proud we forget God even has a say in it. Selfishness is what the result of the fall created. I want to be the God of my own life. Now, I'm a Christian, and I recognize that Jesus is my Lord and Savior and all that. I get that, and I'm willing to kind of acquiesce on Sunday. But the rest of the week, God, could you just kind of get out of my way? Demonstrating no faith in God's plan. Are you willing to step out of the boat when Jesus says, come on, Peter. Hold it. That water looks not only deep but cold. Do you have faith? Here's the. I got some. It's actually good news, but it sounds like good news. Or it actually sounds bad news, but it's good news. Most of the time, God's will is going to be scary for you. Most of the time, it's going to take you outside your comfort zone. Most of the time, he's not going to give you assurances that it's going to work the way you want. It's going to work the way he wants, even if you disobey. You know, that's what happened to these people. I want you to go out and propagate the earth. Oh, no, we're going to stay here and build a city with a wall and a tower. Okay. We'll watch that for a little bit, and then we'll take care of it. Do you want God to do that in your life? So he said, see, that's what he did in my life. He said, okay, go ahead and build your city, Tim. Okay, now. Now, how'd you like to do it my way? Trying to please God through our own efforts and on our own terms, like the people of Babel. And oftentimes we do this. We decide that God will love me and approve of me and take care of me if I just perform my way. Or I'm going to create this vision of God, this version of God, that if I am just obedient, I'll get everything I need. And as long as I'm obedient and I'm trying to be a good guy, he'll answer every prayer the way I want. Good luck with that. So as we looked at the story, and you say, well, is this just historical narrative? Or does God really have something he wants to do in my life? Do I need to look back at the same mistakes these ungodly people make and make sure that I'm not doing the same? I've read through Genesis I don't know how many times, and those points didn't come to me until this time. So I don't know why God says, this is not really, Tim, a story about your problems with trying to do things your own way. But it was. So pray to God. It takes some intentionality to examine yourself on a daily basis to see, am I really doing this God's way? Am I really doing it in faith? Am I really doing it to please God or please myself? Am I trying to satisfy these longings that I have inside me by doing it the way the world says it's supposed to work? Or am I really understand that I'm no longer my own and that I can trust the new owner regardless of how the circumstances in my life play out? Because many times it includes pain and sorrow and loss. But it's the same God, and he still loves you, and he's working all things together for your good. Let's pray. Father God, we struggle with these things, all of them. It's so easy to look at others, especially non-believers, and criticize them and judge them for all these things that they do, when inside we're doing the same things because we aren't really turning our lives over to you in faith. So, Father, we just pray that you would give us this intentionality that we could examine ourselves, see where we are trying to live the abundant life on our own, and turn it over to you. And we need to do that on an everyday basis and with some intentionality and with some specificity. We need to see, this is the one I'm struggling with right now, God. I'm having problems doing things in faith. And put that on the altar. Sacrifice that. That particular problem that we have. And we know, Lord, that you will work in us. So we thank you that you've made the abundant life, both the abundant eternal life and the abundant current life, available to us through the death of your Son on the cross. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.